This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
In our time, the doctrine of the person and work of God the Holy Spirit sent from heaven is one of the most neglected teachings in the church. And when the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is taught, confusion and even heresy often take the place of truth. Why is this so? And what is the remedy? Stay tuned for the answers as we continue our series of messages from Colossians chapter 3, titled Christ Preeminent in You. Heavenly Father, thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you that your word is understandable. As we open the scriptures today, I pray that you will impress upon each listener the plainness and simplicity of the truth of your word concerning the person and work of God the Holy Spirit. Direct our thinking once again toward things above, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to call your attention once again to the theme passage that we are considering in this present series, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Please focus your attention on these words from God's Word as I read them. And if you are able, please follow along in your own copy of the Scriptures as we read this passage and also consider other related passages in the Word of God today. So we begin at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. During our last several messages, we have been seeing that the imperative that is given to us in Colossians chapter 3 is not an isolated commandment. We find throughout the pages of Scripture that it is God's purpose for his people to set their minds on things above, not on the things of this earth. In our last message, we saw this in particular in the Lord Jesus' final conversation with his disciples, a conversation that took place immediately before he ascended into heaven. In the book of Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, we saw that Jesus repeated the promise that he had given to his disciples even before he went to the cross. Please turn to that passage if you are able. The book of Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Listen once again to the words of our Lord. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In our last message, we focused our attention on the disciples' question in verse 6 of this passage. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Even after all of their instruction from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the disciples were still at this final moment asking Jesus if he was going to erect an earthly political kingdom in Israel. They were asking if he was going to overthrow the Roman government. Even at this point, the thinking of the disciples was still very much earthbound. Their thinking was not yet focused on things above. But today I want to call your attention to the other great aspect of this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ here is repeating to the disciples the great fact that the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was about to come upon them. God the Holy Spirit was about to come from heaven, and from this time forward, the Holy Spirit would indwell every believer, every truly blood-bought member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a time when the teaching of God's Word concerning the person and work of the Holy Spirit who has been sent from heaven is a neglected doctrine. Why is this doctrine of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit such a neglected doctrine today? Let me suggest to you three reasons why this is true. First of all, some parts of the church today have minimized the teaching of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as an overreaction against the charismatic cult. And the charismatic movement is a cult. It is not authentic biblical Christianity. And so there has been a reaction against the false teachings that we find in the charismatic cult concerning the Holy Spirit, but in many cases it is an overreaction, rather than simply and plainly and forthrightly teaching biblical truth about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Some branches of the evangelical church today simply teach and operate as though the third person of the Trinity did not really exist. Much of the teaching of the nominally evangelical church today effectively ignores the existence of the Holy Spirit. So that is the first reason for the problem that we see today. On the other hand, secondly, the charismatic cult neglects to teach the true doctrine of the Holy Spirit because it is so busy teaching a false doctrine. The charismatic movement tells people that they do not receive the Holy Spirit when they believe. Dear friends, that is simply impossible. Salvation, applying the finished work of Jesus Christ to sinners, is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is directly and intimately involved in bringing an individual to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Moreover, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 tell us that everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. But the charismatic movement denies this. The charismatic movement teaches that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a second blessing. Charismatic false teaching says that people do not receive the Holy Spirit when they believe. And furthermore, the charismatic heresy tells people that once they have received the supposed indwelling of the Holy Spirit by a work of their own doing, then they can command things of God. They can make demands of God. They can, in effect, order God to do things. And this, dear friends, I believe we must label as blasphemy. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself has warned us against the great and unpardonable sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. And so the first reason for the lack of sound teaching concerning the doctrine of the Holy Spirit today has to do with that doctrine being minimized in some churches as an overreaction against the charismatic cult. And the second reason for the lack of sound teaching about the Holy Spirit is due to the false teachings of the charismatic cult itself. But there is yet a third reason. There is a neglect of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in much of the church today because there is a neglect of doctrinal teaching generally in the church today. There is a serious and severe lack of expository preaching today. When the preacher of a Bible-believing church endeavors to preach the Scriptures in an expository manner, when he explains the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse to the people, the natural result of that kind of preaching will be that people will see and hear and understand sound doctrine. They will see the connections and the relationships within the Word of God. It is the sacred job of the expository preacher to bring out those connections. The expository preacher will show the people of his congregation that there is a connection between the prophesied coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Joel chapter 2 and the explanation of that promise by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14 and Jesus' own reiteration of that promise of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 and the work of the Holy Spirit as we see it carried out in the rest of the book of Acts, and the teaching that we find especially in Paul's epistles, that under the new covenant in which we now live, each and every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is personally the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. All of these things are connected, and all of these things are designed to cause us to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, the one who has sent God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to live within each member of the true body of Christ. You see, dear friends, the person and work of the Holy Spirit is not something new when we come to the New Testament. We find God the Holy Spirit mentioned many times in the Old Testament. But as we come to the New Testament, we find a difference in the operation of the Holy Spirit in the world. Under the Old Covenant, God the Holy Spirit did not permanently indwell all believers. But as we come to the New Covenant, the New Testament, we find this difference, that God the Holy Spirit has now come and permanently lives within each and every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, let me ask you a very important question. Do you think about this? Are you conscious of this? Are you conscious of the fact that if you are truly a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living within you? As the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, do you understand the difference that that has made within you? God from heaven, in the person of God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has condescended to come and live within you. This is the mystery of which the Apostle Paul speaks by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Colossians chapter 1. Turn with me, if you are able, to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Here the Apostle Paul explains the great difference that is true for every believer under the new covenant. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. The Apostle Paul calls it the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints, to them, to believers in Christ. God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the Apostle Paul states the case very plainly. Turn with me, if you are able, to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. God, through the Apostle Paul, declares this to us. He says, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if Christ is in you, if the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwells within you. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You see, dear friend, new life in Christ is impossible apart from the presence of God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, living within you. Romans chapter 8 declares unequivocally that this is the difference, that this is the dividing line. If you have God the Holy Spirit living within you, you are a Christian. If you do not have God the Holy Spirit living within you, you do not belong to Jesus Christ. There is no middle ground. Either God the Holy Spirit from heaven lives within you and you are saved, or God the Holy Spirit does not live within you and you are lost. And if God the Holy Spirit lives within you, if you have indeed been raised with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, then the imperative of God's Word is that you must seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. You must set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You were raised with Christ. And so it is the great purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit to point you to Christ, to point you to things above. And you must not resist that work of the Holy Spirit. You must not give in to the flesh. You must set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth. For you died. The old man is dead, crucified with Christ, and your life is hidden. Your life is in the eternal place of safekeeping with Christ in God. God the Holy Spirit lives within you. You are the temple of the living God sent from heaven. You shall receive power, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And this brings us to one of the most neglected aspects of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in our time. And in our time, it is an aspect of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit on which there is not only great neglect, but also great confusion. This is one of the reasons why the Church of Jesus Christ lacks power today. It is one of the reasons why much of the Church is lacking in sanctification today. And it is one of the reasons why, in much of the nominally evangelical church today, fewer and fewer people recognize and fewer pastors teach the distinction between those who have the Spirit of God dwelling within them and give evidence of that fact and are therefore truly saved, and those who do not have the Spirit of God dwelling within them and give no evidence of a changed life, no evidence of the new birth. And it is because they are not saved. Listen to me carefully, dear friend. The difference between a person who is saved and a person who is lost is the presence or the absence of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God sent from heaven. That is why we have such a sad situation in much of the nominally evangelical church today. Growing numbers of people who are attending evangelical churches in our time do not have the Spirit of God sent from heaven dwelling within them. They are not saved. The nominally evangelical church today is more and more populated by unsaved people. And I believe that in our time many churches have reached what I call the tipping point. What do I mean by that? I'm saying that in our time many nominally evangelical churches have reached the point where the majority of the people who regularly come in the doors each week are not truly regenerated believers in Christ who have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them. When we look at the state of the church today in the light of the Word of God, it is difficult, if not impossible, to deny this. To deny the present situation would be to deny Scripture. In many formerly sound churches today, the majority of the people who attend the services each week give no clear evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from heaven. They give no evidence that they have truly been raised with Christ. They give no evidence that they have set their minds, that they have set all of their thinking and their living upon things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. No, their thinking is earthbound. It is the things of the earth that attract them. It is the things of earth that hold their attention. It is the things of earth that have value for them, not the things which are above. And so as we continue this study of the difference between the person whose life and thinking are earthbound and the person whose life and thinking are focused on things above, we must ask a very critical question. And that question is this: what are the key characteristics of the indwelling of the Spirit of God sent from heaven in the life of the believer? What is it that changes when the Holy Spirit takes up residence? What is it that makes the difference between the person whose thinking is focused on the things of heaven and the person whose thinking is focused on the things of earth? The Lord willing, we are going to take up that question on our next broadcast. And as we do so, we are going to see six things, six differences. Let me state them for you now as something of a preview of our next message. And the Lord willing, next time we shall go into each of them in depth. First of all, the Christian indwelled by the Spirit of God from heaven has an understanding of the gospel that no one else has. Secondly, the Christian indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God from heaven has an understanding of the Word of God that the unbeliever cannot have. Thirdly, the Christian indwelled by the Spirit of God from heaven has an understanding of his position when he was outside of Christ that no one else has. Number four, the Christian indwelled by the Spirit of God from heaven has an understanding of his present position in Christ that the unbeliever cannot have. Number five, the Christian indwelled by the Spirit of God from heaven has an understanding of his future position in Christ that the unbeliever cannot have. And number six, the Christian indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God from heaven has access to power that no unbeliever can have. These are the things that make the difference between the person who is saved and the person who is lost, the person who has the Spirit of God living within him and the person who does not. And these things will be our focus, the Lord willing, as we see what the Word of God says about these things in our next message.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, I want to remind you about our special free book offer during this series of messages. The title of the book we're offering is Setting Our Affections Upon Glory by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. The nine chapters of this book will challenge you to carefully examine the focus of your life in the light of Scripture. And as Paul exhorts us in Colossians chapter 3, to focus your mind and your attachments on things above, where Christ is, and not on the things of this earth. We're offering this book at no cost or obligation, free and postage paid, to anyone who requests it anywhere in the world while supplies last. Here's how you can receive your free copy of the book, Setting Our Affections Upon Glory. Listeners in North America can call us toll-free anytime 24 hours a day at 888-804-9655. Once again, our toll-free number for listeners in North America is 888-804-9655. You can also request your free copy online at our website, teachingtheword.org. Just click the contact link on our homepage and let us know you would like to receive the book, Setting Our Affections Upon Glory. Once again, to request your free copy of this book online, go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the contact link on our homepage. Or you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. I also want to encourage you to visit the Bible Knowledge Base on our website, teachingtheword.org. The Bible Knowledge Base contains thousands of pages of Bible teaching resources that you can read or listen to online or download for printing or later listening. Readers and listeners around the world use our Bible Knowledge Base every day. Many of them write to us to let us know how useful the Bible Knowledge Base has been in their walk with Christ, and we hope you will find it useful too. On our next broadcast, we'll continue our study as we focus on the person and work of the Holy Spirit who has been sent from heaven within the believer in Christ. Until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.